The last and most important part of an insurance policy are the is the exclusionary part. This is usually the longest part of the policy for the obvious reason that that's the way insurance policies work. It's very simple how much you have to pay in premiums. It's very simple to know where and when you have to send in those premium payments, and it's very, very complicated where and when the insurance company has to actually give you any of that money back if something bad should happen to you. And the way that they avoid doing that is through the use of the exclusions in their policy. Most property and casualty policies now have three separate exclusionary sections that are different and have different lead-in language, and then list a number of different things that will cause your loss or the lawsuit against your client to be removed from coverage. Well, under, again, roughly 70 years of jurisprudence in Texas, exclusions, particularly in liability policies, were waivable by the insurance company. This is why, for those of us who are over 30 years old, we recall that in virtually every case that we defended at the behest of an insurance company, or virtually every case where we represented a defendant and turned it over to the insurance company for defense, we would always get what's called a non-waiver agreement, or a more commonly a reservation of rights letter. Reservation of rights letter is a letter from the insurance company that says, just because we're agreeing to undertake the defense of you in this lawsuit doesn't mean that we are agreeing that we have coverage for whatever happens to you, for whatever judgment is rendered against you. And here is a list of those rights that we are reserving and those exclusions which we think might apply, and we don't know until we've completed our investigation of the lawsuit, but we are now providing you with a defense for the time being at our expense until we find out and resolve these coverage questions. That's called a reservation of rights letter. If it's a property and casualty policy, you will also get a reservation of rights letter that will say, just because we're proceeding to investigate and adjust your claim, and even if we pay you some money on your claim, we're reserving our rights to later take it back and deny it if we find out something that we don't already know, and here are the things that we already know that may or may not give rise to the application of an exclusion. Under Employers Casualty versus Tilly, and under the Wilkinson exception, which is as recent as 1980, it was enunciated by the Austin Court in 1980 in the Texas County Mutual versus Wilkinson case. From these general principles, if an insurer assumed the defense of an insured without obtaining a reservation of rights or non-waiver agreement, and with knowledge of the facts indicating non-coverage, all policy defenses, including those of non-coverage, are waived, and the insurer is a stop from raising them. That's why you used to always get these reservation of rights letters, because the insurance company didn't want to waive an exclusion by agreeing to undertake the defense. The logic under Tilly in the first instance, and then later under Wilkinson, was you pay these premiums, and your insurance policy says that not only do you get a defense for free, and not only does the insurance company have to indemnify you from any judgment against you in the lawsuit, that's what liability coverage is, but the provisions of the policy, virtually every policy, except for the newfangled ones with big self-insured retentions and stuff that we don't need to talk about, the virtually every common policy in Texas and elsewhere not only has that in it, but it also provides that the insurance company, since it's paying for the defense, has the right to control the defense and to decide whether or not to settle the case. And because the insurance policy cedes that control to the insurance company, that's why if the insurance company steps in and takes over the defense and exerts control over the defense without telling you that it might simultaneously be looking for ways to pull out, that prejudices you, and they will be held to have waived or be a stop to assert any exclusion in the policy. Okay, pause. That was the law in Texas up until, well, roughly 2008. In 2008, we had this interesting Ulico Casualty versus Allied Pilots case. I believe the opinion was written by then-Justice Willett. And what the Supreme Court said in 2008 is we do not agree with Wilkinson's statement that non-coverage of a risk is the type of right that an insurer can waive. The policy is going to be construed as written. The insurance company can do whatever it wants. It can take out your wife and beat her up. But that's not going to change what the policy covers and doesn't cover, and it's not going to remove any of the exclusions in the policy. We're going to enforce the policy as written. So for a few years up until, well, for 10 years up until 2018, we thought, well, okay, I guess the Wilkinson exception is dead. I guess employers casualty versus Tilley has been significantly undermined by this Ulico case. But then an even newer rule came down in the case of USAA versus Menchaca. This case is more widely known or well known for its holding that you don't necessarily have to have an independent injury besides the withholding of benefits in order to recover for bad faith or for statutory violations of the insurance code. But it also has some interesting language in it about ways in which an insurance company can be barred or denied the right to assert an exclusion in the policy. What the Menchaca court said, and this is Justice Boyd, waiver and estoppel cannot be used to rewrite a policy, because we just got through 10 years ago deciding the Ulico case, so that it provides coverage it did not originally provide. But if an insurer's statutory violations prejudice the insurer may be estopped from denying benefits that would be payable under its policy as if the risk had been covered. So this is kind of an interesting little piece of slicing and dicing so that Ulico is still the law. The court's not going to rewrite the policy. It's going to enforce the policy as written. But if you can prove a statutory violation, some unfair settlement practice or some misrepresentation that's made by the insurance company in the course of defending the case, and that prejudices the insured, like means that you end up with a default judgment against you or something like that, in those instances, the Menchaca court just this year said, yeah, we're not going to rewrite the policy in that instance, but we're going to pretend, because of the statutory violation and the prejudice that it causes, that you can sue the insurer for that as if the exclusion did not exist. You'll be suing them in tort, not in contract, which is the distinction that the Supreme Court has now made.